The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
We'll do one last investigation of energy or effort in this guided meditation. Now, I would like to invite you to notice how much effort you're bringing into your practice right now, sitting and meditating and following these invitations. How much effort is needed right now? Try to get a sense of that. Is it a lot of effort? Is it more than you thought? Or is it less than you thought? It's pretty effortless effort. If you relaxed some more into effortless effort, would it in fact be easier to follow these invitations and practice? Hello and good morning again. So, through that guided meditation, most of which I forgot to record, I guided you through investigating energy. So, the third factor, which is the topic for today, energy or virya. And just to review, the first factor was sati or mindfulness. Mindfulness was the first factor we looked at together a couple months ago. The second factor was dhamma vichaya, investigation, curiosity, which we investigated last month. The third factor being virya, V-I-R-I-Y-A, virya, which is translated in many different ways. It's translated as energy, as effort, as persistence, persevering, vigor, vitality, enthusiasm, and diligence. So there are many different ways to relate to virya. some of which we just explored in this guided meditation together. So we explored, So what we explored Virya first as energy. I invited you to investigate, to be curious about the level of the energy present right now in your body, in your mind. What is the level of energy? Is there energetic today? Tired? What is that level of energy? Not very complicated. You know, you often tell friends, oh, I'm tired today, my energy is not good. Or, yay, let's go hiking, let's go conquer the world. Just feeling that sense of energy, right, in the body and in the mind. And also that can relate to a sense of vitality, the sense of life force that moves through your body, vitality and life force. And vitality and life force are a little different. Vitality perhaps is on the higher end of life force. As long as you're alive, you have life force running through your body. Now, whether that life force is strong or weak on a given moment, given hour, given day, because of what is happening in your life, with your body, with your mind. So that sense of vitality, that sense of, let's just call it life force or energy, different ways. One thing that also I also invited you to explore in the guided meditation was to explore the relationship between the body and the mind. So if the body is feeling energetic, the mind, there's so many different aspects, by the way, to this investigation. So if the body is feeling energetic, sense of vitality, the mind can feel bright. If the body is feeling dull, not so well, maybe you're sick, if you have a cold, the mind can feel dull and just not so good, as if the mind is sinking, or different thoughts that are difficult might arise, because the body is not in a very vital state. Similarly, along the same investigation, can investigate sometimes feeling of energy in the body can actually be smooth energy, kind of smooth, relaxed energy, in which case the mind can have this steady, spacious energy, calm, or the body might have this bubbly, anxious energy, where the mind becomes anxious, right? It darts around. Or if the body is tight, if you're sitting like this, instead of relaxing into your body, your mind can become tight, more monkey mind. Does this make sense? Yes? Did you investigate these as I invited you to through this guided meditation? I'm just naming a few. In a moment, I'll turn the floor to you so that you ask questions and share your observations, but I just want to name a few things that we investigated. And also the other way around. If the mind is anxious and darting around with thoughts, the body becomes tight and anxious. The energy completely shifts. The mind energy is jagged, the body becomes jagged and entangled and awful too, right? So it's both ways, the mind and body together. It's not just one or the other, which is why I really appreciate the teachings on embodied mind. The mind is embodied. It's not just up here in our head. It's not. It's embodied mind. The mind is embodied everywhere. It's related to the state of this body, the state of our thoughts. Another invitation I had for you was was to experiment if what happens if you sit up a little more straight, or breathe more deeply, how you notice the energy changing in your body. That tends to bring in more energy. Or if you're feeling sleepy, you would stand up or maybe open your eyes. That brings up more energy into the body. The mind becomes brighter and more awake, more alert. Vice versa, if you're feeling anxious, with every out-breath, you can relax and settle in more into your body. The mind tends to settle. I mentioned a knob. You all have a knob. And you can use the knob. You just need to know, with mindfulness, you need to take the temperature. Oh, where is my body right now? Where is my mind? What's the level of energy? What's the quality of the energy? What's the quality of the effort? How do I need to move this knob? But until you are mindful and you investigate, you cannot figure out your level of energy. Hence, the first two factors lead to the third factor of awakening. The first factor being mindfulness, the second factor investigation, the third energy. So if when you mindfully investigate, you can figure out what the energy of your body is. What is the level of energy? Right? If you're not mindful, if you don't investigate, you'll never know. You'll just be running around like a headless chicken. So I'm going to stop now, actually, and I think what might be appropriate now is to tell you what. Let's get into groups. Yes, actually, tell you what. Let's get into groups of four and share what came up for you in terms of your energy when you did all this investigation about the energy. Yes? There's a lot that came up about the investigation of energy, and then I like to open it up to questions and comments and really dig deep. So let's do that. Let's get into groups of four. And if you came with someone, please talk with somebody else. We might need to have groups of five also. Oh, yeah. Get settled. Get settled into where you're sitting, your new location perhaps. And become embodied. Land in your seat. Feel your bottom on the cushion or the chair, your back on touching the chair, your feet. Feel your hands, your whole torso. Becoming embodied. Feeling your breath move in your body, feeling your level of energy. The energy in your body, energy in your mind. Both the level and now the quality of the energy internally. What is the quality of your energy? Have a clear sense of it in this moment as you're sitting in this group before you start the conversation. What is the level of energy? And throughout the conversation, whether you're listening, or speaking, try to stay embodied and notice the level of your energy, how it's changing through either listening or speaking, and through different things people say. This is the real-time practice of investigating energy mindfully, bringing all the first three factors together. At times you will lose embodiment, you will completely forget about your body and level of energy. That's perfectly fine. You'll remember at some point during the conversation, you'll come back to it and you'll take stock. Oh, okay, this is what's happening. It's okay. You're not a failure. You're not doing the practice wrong. You will go in and out of noticing your body and your level of energy. Okay? So both having internal and external awareness as much as possible, knowing that you'll lose the internal now and then, and it's okay. You'll just come back to it, touch into it. Okay? So we'll do this as a spiral. So the spiral format works in the way that each person will share just one observation, not an entire monologue, like a 5-minute monologue. No, just like 1 point, maybe 30 seconds or a minute. They share one observation. The next person will share an observation. The next person, the next person. Then it comes back to you again. Then you'll share another observation or another nugget for another 30 seconds or a minute, and then the next person. So it goes in a spiral. We want to make sure we have a few. Everybody gets the chance to speak at least twice, okay? So be mindful, okay? All right, so please open your eyes. And before you speak, you can share your name with your partners. And whoever is closest to the Buddha will start speaking. And then we'll go counterclockwise from there. Okay, please start. So take a pause for a moment. Wherever, have all groups gone at least twice in the spiral? Yes? Oh, no, not yet. One time at least once? Okay, good. It's okay. Take a pause for a moment. We're going to continue, but I'm going to shift the instructions just a little bit. Actually, take a pause and close your eyes internally for a moment and notice your internal energy right now after having gone at least once or twice. How does your energy feel right now after this conversation compared to before? When I ask you to take stock of your energy, notice the difference. Notice the difference. Okay, now having noticed the difference, taking stock of the level, quality of the energy internally in the body, in the mind, embodied mind. Now continuing the spiral. And either one shift is now considering virya as effort, as quality of effort that you bring in to your meditation, because that's another investigation that I invited you to do this morning. How effortful is it? Is it effortless? Is it effort? Is it effortless effort or is it effortful effort? What does it feel like to you when you meditate or when you investigate it this morning? So that's if you haven't already explored that, that's a direction I invite you to explore. So please open your eyes and continue where you were. Need it, but let's continue. So, because we have the actually, you know what? I think more people are leaving for the bio break. This is what happens. Okay, so let's take a bio break. Okay, I think this is kind of like tell you I'm going to stop this. Let's press record. So welcome back. So I would like to make an announcement actually. Before we continue with our program, which is speaking of energy and practicing with energy today, my energy is not good and I'm not feeling well today at all. So today will end at 12:30 for lunch and will not have an afternoon so that I can take care of myself. So just wanted to share that with all of you. Yeah. Yeah.
My husband thinks he's going to pick me up at 3:30. So if anybody's going near or towards Palo Alto and can give me a ride home, thank you.
Great. Awesome. Thank you. So welcome back. And it would be wonderful to open with questions, comments, what you discovered through both the guided meditation this morning, through the spiral that we did together, the conversations you had. There was a lot that came up. I was kind of like hearing. There was a lot that revealed itself in terms of relating to this third factor, energy, virya. One can relate to it as either effort, energy, vitality, engagement. There's so many different aspects to it. It's so rich. It is so rich. So please bring it on. What did you notice? What came up for you? Comments, questions. And we have mics. And one there. So please jump in and take it. Come on, guys. There was a lot of conversation. Somebody's got to get it started. I know it will go. Okay, Trudy. All right. Trailblazer.
Well, I realize that energy is probably the most important factor for me to study. I don't sleep well. I've had a lot of sleep problems. And so energy, balancing energy during the day is challenging. And what we've done so far, I feel, is really helpful. And the next step is to bring it into my life and use it.
Yeah.
So I'm a happy camper so far.
Great. I appreciate hearing that. And tell me, in what way specifically has it been helpful or relevant? Let's dig in a little deeper.
Well, I think first of all, focusing attention on energy,
yeah,
as we go through our exercises is elevating of energy for me to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you're saying just noticing energy itself elevates it for you. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
That's important.
Yeah.
That is huge when
right.
You notice what the energy is. Great.
It's like I know whatever I put my attention on,
yes,
becomes more real.
Yeah.
And so if I put my attention on energy,
right,
then there's a more reality in the energy. And that's helpful.
Nice. Thank you, Trudy. Very helpful.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Over here. Thanks.
About engagement, I shared this with the group I was in because it just was so powerful to me how engagement is like a two-way street. And I have a mother who's very, like, something, I don't know what, she's completely in her own world. And I have always been so engaged with her, and so when I visit her and I'm not able to engage with her, and I try so hard, it makes the exhaustion the disappointment and the depression from not having somebody return that engagement is overwhelming to me. And yet in the group of four that people were acknowledging and listening and in turn reacting and giving back in their own way was so nourishing to me after a day yesterday of this experience of just the impossibility of somebody engaging with me, somebody that I love so much. So it meant a lot to me.
Yeah. Thank you. So what you're observing is in daily life interactions, you know, energy, this factor of virya, it's not something hoity-toity that's just reserved for meditation purposes, but in daily life you notice that engaging with someone that you love but doesn't engage with you, actually it makes it very effortful and the energy does not flow. No. Because you see, all the threes are related: engagement, effort, and energy. Mm. They flow into each other. Whereas what you notice with the interaction in the group right now, there was engagement. People were engaged, genuinely interested, mm-hmm. and then that engagement made it seem less effortful, more effortless, and the energy flowed. You were present. It was easier to be with that. So thank you for mentioning that. So both in terms of our interactions with others, both externally, and also the point I want to make from that, take that into another direction also after having acknowledged what you said, is also this factor of engagement internally. When you're engaged with what you're doing, whether it's meditation, whether it's making art, whether whatever form of what you, when you're engaged with something fully, whether you're here this morning, you're engaged with what I'm saying and what other people are saying, you're engaged with the topic. Oh, this is interesting, this virya stuff, this third factor. When you're engaged, energy flows, right? Time flies, your energy and engagement, and it feels less effortful, whereas if this was a topic you were not interested in at all, there was no engagement, oh gosh, okay, you would be looking at your watch every 5 minutes, right? It would be effortful to even sit. You would start fidgeting and it would be hard. So that engagement, that E also leads into the other. So the question becomes, when you're practicing on the cushion internally, how can you remain engaged, the right level of engagement with your practice? How would you bring the level of engagement with the practice? And this engagement energy really ties in with all the other factors. So I'll put that as a question in the group. Thank you. Any ideas? So the way to bring in, to have engagement with your practice, to keep engaging with the practice, so that energy flows, so that it feels less effortful. I mean, there are many, many, many answers to this, but let me tell you what I have in mind. One answer I have in mind is you bring in the first two factors, right? The first two factors, mindfulness and investigation, because investigation keeps you curious about what is happening. And when you're curious about what's happening and being mindful about it, like touching into the experience, being intimate with the experience, that creates engagement. Whereas like, oh, I'm just going to hang out here in bliss land and I don't care what's happening, that's not really engaged, right? Does that make sense? So the first two factors, mindfulness, investigation, those two can cause engagement, can bring in engagement and hence more energy. So the first two factors cause the third factor. If you put the first two factors of awakening in place, if you have mindfulness, if you're present with what is happening, if you're fully present with what is happening, if you're touching into experience intimately, and then on top of that, add the second factor, which is curiosity, investigation, interest. Let's just say interest. When you bring in interest with presence, you're present with whatever's happening with interest. Ooh, that sounds like engagement to me, doesn't it? that creates the third factor, which is engagement. And that engagement brings up energy. You become more energized. It's just like you can sit for hours. You can, it just that, it starts to happen on its own. Does that make sense? How the first two factors lead into the third one? Okay. So we...
I would say for me, the engagement comes from embodiment mm-hmm. and maybe linked to having done a lot of dance and ballet in my life, in the first part of my life, and being engaged in that way. So like for me, when I'm meditating and I need more energy, I just kind of get really into my body. Like if I'm in my head, I'm not engaged.
Yeah.
I have to be in my body to feel engaged.
Exactly. That's great. I appreciate you putting it in those words. Lovely. It's, for me, that is another way of saying that intimacy, like being intimate with experience. Because when you're in your head, you're not intimate with experience. You're miles and miles away, right? Past, future, But when you're embodied, it's intimacy with experience. Beautiful. Thank you. Yeah.
I have a little bit of confusion I want to ask about.
Great.
I have a little bit of confusion I want to ask about.
Sure.
It kind of all makes sense to me as I investigate with interest and I notice levels of energy and quality of energy. But then when you talk about the third factor as a kind of effort or diligence.
Yeah, yeah, great.
What that reminds me of is in the first factor, we talked about, you know, the metaphors, and one of the metaphors was, you know, with the vat of oil on your head and the man with the sword behind, seemed like a kind of effort.
Yes,
you know, kind of
yes.
An intensity of concentration.
Great,
and
great.
And there's the herder with the cows. The
kind yes.
Of, let's just let it happen and see what happens.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Those to me are kind of qualities of effort.
Yes.
Which is different when I'm experiencing a kind of energy that emerges when I have this interest, investigation with interest.
Uh-huh.
So I'm kind of confused by the translation of what's
Virya.
The third? Virya.
Virya.
Virya being both of those things.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Great, great. It's a continuum. It's a continuum. And I so appreciate you making the connection and doing a little review of the of the first session. Perfect. It's wonderful how you made the connections, because it's the continuum, the same way that mindfulness was along this continuum of different ways of being mindful, different modes, as we call it a couple months ago, of being mindful. Energy also, effort. It's along a continuum. Sometimes you need to have more effort, and sometimes it's too much effort, you need to back off. In fact, the simile for effort is one of tuning a instrument, like I forget the Pali word for it's. Let's just say a violin. You know, if you're tuning a violin, not too tight, not too loose, right? That's the metaphor that is used in the Pali canon for Virya. So sometimes you'll get too tight. Oh, too much effort. Sometimes it'll be too loose, too lax. The mind is just kind of observing, kind of, you know, too much of the cow herder. Too many cows are like going away, right? It's like, okay. And sometimes you feel too tight, like, oh, you feel the sword in the back of your neck. Like, oh, that's too tight also. So really the tuning that... The string instrument for the appropriate level of practice you're doing at a given time. And it might differ depending on the time of the day, on the week, on your state of your body, state of your mind. What is wise, what is kind, what is supportive at a given time. Mm-hmm. So if you're not feeling well, for example, as I am today, you know, doing, you know, very intense practice is not kind, it's not wise. Maybe something more open and spacious is wiser and kinder. So Great. Tell me if that helps.
That helps. I really like the metaphor of the tuning.
Yeah.
And I kind of get how it's a continuum of the quality of mindfulness to the varia, the energy. Can you just remind me, what is the third metaphor that you told us for the first factor?
Surgeon. It was the surgeon's scalpel. Mm-hmm. So there was the precision of the being really intimate with experience, mm-hmm. really touching, really feeling into it.
Yeah, I now remember that, and defining the edges.
The edges, mm-hmm. exactly.
And I felt like that maybe there's kind of the same continuum there, because when we were focusing on our energy, I was really trying to get a sense of that, the edges of it. What is the quality of, like, if I had a crystal view of
great, and beautiful. And so that could be the way that you're mindful with your energy, could be the scalpel, or it could be it could be the cowherder, like, what is my energy like today? Oh, it's kind of cloud diffuse and I don't feel so well, or I feel great, look at the same modes of mindfulness applied to energy, apply to virya, investigating virya. Again, I just love how even in speaking, the three factors just flow into each other, right? Different modes of mindfulness. You investigate, the second factor, the energy, the level of effort that's involved. So that's one investigation to bring in. And another way to look at this whole thing that I'm bringing in is looking at it from acknowledging that when you're engaged, when you are managing your mindfulness, you're managing your investigation, then energy naturally comes up also. So two things I'm pointing out here. One is that you can use one and two, you can use mindfulness and investigation to notice your level of energy in order to tune it, use the knob. That's one take-home message today, which is a really, really important one. And actually, often, when I'm teaching meditation retreats, a lot of times when people come to the private meetings, a lot of times it's my task of hearing if the seven factors are out of whack, right? Because if somebody's saying, oh, I'm too anxious, my mind doesn't settle, like, oh, okay, you need to settle more, we need to, like, work with your energy, relaxing more, settling more, grounding more, embodying more. And if somebody says, well, my mind is just sinking, I can't stay awake, it's just drifting, like, oh, we need a little more energy. Okay, how about you sit up a little more straight? How about you open your eyes maybe a little, if you're feeling sleepy, to bring in more energy? How about you take, you know, walking meditation, you walk a little faster, you bring in more energy so I'm really giving advice in order to balance the energy. Right? So number one is so important. You'll save yourself, you know, a practice meeting worth of time right now. If you know that you have that knob, you just have to be mindful about it and see what is happening. So that's the first take-home message today. The other take-home message is knowing that energy flows. It's created from engagement. Engagement flows when you are intimate with experience, when you have mindfulness. Again, the first factor. The second factor, you have interest, right? The first factor, you're intimate, your mind fully observing. The second factor, investigation, interest. Those two together create energy. They create energy. You become absorbed in what you're doing. And again, this is not a far out idea. Imagine if you're creating art or dancing or doing something that you love doing, or gardening or whatever it is for you, or carpentry. You're doing what you love, hours pass, or programming, you know, hours pass. Like, you're just engaged, energy flows, or reading the book you love, whatever it might be, right? The same way with meditation. When the first two factors are really in, you find how to, the boredom does not visit you. It's not like, oh, it's like, okay, I said I would sit for 30 minutes, it's 10 minutes, oh my God, when is it going to end? No, there's engagement, there's interest, there's intimacy with experience, it becomes interesting, energy just flows. So that's the other take-home message, that when you really place the first two factors, the energy, the virya, just kind of gets produced on its own, right? So the first one was the knob, so you're mindful, so you see, you were using the factors in a different way. When you're mindful, in order to investigate the energy, you know what to do, right? When you're mindful and interested in the subject itself, not investigating energy, but investigating phenomena, whatever it might be, you might be observing your and witnessing, observing your body or your thoughts or whatever it is, then energy flows because there's interest, there's engagement. So those are the two take-home messages so far. Anything? Okay, good. Yeah.
So I wonder if you can comment, because, you know, I've been doing some readings and listening to some talks.
Uh-huh.
And it seems that there are different words used for this energy, like faith and trust, so that, and what was the other one? Faith, trust. There was one other. Confidence.
For virya?
That's what I thought.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, not for virya. Yeah, virya really has a quality of energy. Sada. Sada is faith.
Okay.
Sada is faith.
But you're saying that some teachers don't use that for
them. I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, well, I don't know if they do, but I would not.
Okay.
It's because sada is faith, is trust. Whereas...
Where does that come in with the seven factors?
It's not part of the seven factors, sada.
I'll check my references again.
Yeah, please, and we can have a conversation, because this, yeah, it okay. doesn't ring a bell for me.
Okay, great, thanks.
Yeah, yeah. It's... yeah, it's... sada is trust and faith. Virya is a sense of engagement, energy, effort. If you stretch it and think of a sense of like effort that you put into practice being from your faith, then I can see the link. But it's kind of it's a bit of a stretch. But,
okay.
So yeah, I'd be curious if this is the case, how they're using this interpretation. I would be very curious about how that link is being made. I mean, there's so many, in some ways you can say everything is related to everything in practice, right? It's like a cloth. When you take a thread and you pull the thread of the cloth, the whole cloth is just one thread. Everything is connected to everything else, just the same way that we're talking about these factors merging into one another, giving rise to each other, being different manifestations of each other. So they're all related. In some ways, they're all related. And in some ways, if we do want to use the scalpel, the surgeon's scalpel, there is separation. There is difference, if we want to be more concise. But at the same time, as a cowherder, oh yeah, we can all lump them together. So it really depends on the level. Great. Sure.
I don't know if this is going to make a lot of sense, but I do appreciate bringing in the different energy factors for sitting in meditation and how that would be beneficial. And it's almost more interesting to me how I behave in my regular life when I'm not sitting in meditation. And it was really helpful to hear that, because I can kind of see that, like, with mindfulness and investigation and then energy, how I could use that just like in my sitting meditation to understand, like, what kind of what right balance do I have in my life, and what do I need to put into practice. And sometimes I don't even know, and I don't know why, but I thought about this while you were talking, because I had a plumbing problem in my kitchen, and the plumber was in my house, and he was like, "Don't you know that the dishwasher runs through the garbage disposal?" And I was like, "No, I didn't know, because no one told me." Like, you know, like, can you just explain it to me? And then when it gets explained, you're like, "Oh." And he was looking at my dishwasher, and he's like, "I think it's time to get that replaced." And so, like, you kind of understand, like, right, as you understand the energy part, like, what, you know, from the mindfulness and the investigation, what do you need to put in? Because in life, like, it just strikes me that I just need to take care of myself a little bit. And sometimes if my energy is low, there are things I need to do, but sometimes I need to rest. Sometimes I might need to engage with people. Like, there's, or sometimes I need to do something creative. So there's, like, all kinds of ways to understand that.
Nice. Beautiful. I so appreciate the way you put it. Great. Thank you. Right next to you.
For me, the same. I was realizing that the term you use, effortless effort, I don't think that applies to how I've been doing things. And I realized that for my sitting, I always wondered why I'm not putting enough effort, or it feels like I'm not putting enough effort to get settled. And I think I realized that that effortless effort, I don't know how it's done. Mm-hmm. And effort to me has always brought so much anxiety that I just can't handle it. And I, at least for my sitting, I rather not add to my anxiety.
Right.
Maybe don't do enough effort.
Yeah.
And it just clarified.
Or maybe you do too much, I don't know.
Yeah, I still don't know. But that effortless effort sounds good.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like something I need to.
So let's explore for a moment, if you would. Tell me. Well, no. Hold on. It's okay. We'll be gentle. Don't worry.
Okay.
If you could think of something that you enjoy doing, whatever it might be, something you love doing. What is something that you enjoy doing?
Gardening sounds good.
Gardening, great, great. So I want you to bring to mind, to your body, it's really a felt sense of you gardening. Like, remember a day where you were gardening, just hours past, you were just loving what you were doing. Mm-hmm. Can you bring a felt sense of that into your body for a moment?
Yeah, can I say something?
Sure.
I mean, as much as I love gardening or doing yoga, but still that effort, even in gardening,
there,
that thought of maybe I'm not doing it right, or maybe I'm too rushed, or it brings anxiety.
Okay, great. So that is a great place to investigate. It's a great place to investigate with something that you already know you love and is easy, quote-unquote, easy for you. Mm-hmm. Gardening, cooking, whatever it might be, I don't know. Just like, oh, so bringing that investigation into the edges there. What is extra here? What is getting in the way of the effortless effort here? Is it the judgment? I'm not doing this well enough. I'm not doing this right. I am doing this right. So if it's judgment, every time it comes, you're not doing this right. Well, I am doing this right. Just kind of like have another voice, have another puppet. You're not doing this right. Oh, you are doing this right. Just have the two puppets kind of like, you know, I am doing this right. Just bring it in. See, if it's that, see if that can make it more smooth. If you can, that can get out of the way.
Yeah, I think the perfection definitely gets in the way.
Oh, do it badly. Enjoy doing it really badly. really enjoy doing it badly.
Yeah.
Just like really take like what next time you go and like I'm going to enjoy doing it really badly. I'm just going to enjoy it. That's the object.
Yeah. But I can definitely see how the mindfulness first and then the investigation can open up.
Yeah. Yeah. Great.
Thank you.
Yeah. Over here.
The last two people's questions and comments brought to mind for me that another way of approaching this topic, for some of you that are newer, there have been some year-long things on the paramis or the perfections. And in that framework, wisdom is discussed as a unit, like a day-long, prior to effort. Bringing wisdom to one's effort, not just what one is doing, and is that wise, but how and when and all those kinds of things that and aspects of effort that you were bringing up.
Yeah, so actually it's effort doesn't show up on its own. Usually it shows up as wise effort. It always has to be wise effort. And in fact, I don't like the word effort. I don't use it so much, except I'm using it today because it's the common translation. But I prefer the word, instead of effort, I like, I usually like the translation of gentle perseverance. Because for me, effort feels, again, it could feel effortful, but gentle, I like the word gentle, perseverance. So with making the, again, if the word effort works for you, great. For me, effort sometimes can feel a little too tight, like speaking of embodiment can also make my body want to tighten up effort. Whereas gentle perseverance, it's like, I can hang in there. I can bring my mind back 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times gently. But effortfully, it's just hard. Like, imagine when you're sitting and you notice that your mind is now resting on a thought, a plan, your vacation in Hawaii. Scenario one, with effort, you yank it back. Back mind, come here, right here, right? Scenario two, all right, come back, sweetie. You'll go again. Oh, come back, sweetie. Go again. Oh, come back, sweetie. So that's scenario two versus scenario one. You bring it back and you shackle it. You're not going anywhere. You're staying with the breath mind. So for me, the second works a lot better because it's a training. It's a gentle training. It's a persevering. You're hanging in there. 10th time the past minute, one mind has wandered up. No problem. Come back. There is a sense of perseverance, cheer, gentleness in doing it. Over and over and over again, just knowing that this is what happens, instead of expecting that you'll bring it back and it will stay there. It's not going to stay there, no matter how much effort you put in, right? Your body, you get tight, you get angry at your darn mind, it's defective. Like, it's not going to help. But the gentleness, just bringing back the perseverance. So I like gentle perseverance, but it's a mouthful. What else?
But it does reduce the level of judgment effort.
Totally, exactly. It has the wisdom. Has the wisdom with it. Yeah, has the wisdom with it. Moria, please.
For me, the word, like having a certain amount of energy or not having it, has some judgment around it. Mm. And I was just interested in, if you're low energy, it's kind of not a good thing, or being too high energy is not a good thing. And how do you sort of manage the judgment around?
Oh, interesting.
What you're bringing, if you're not bringing enough somehow, somewhere.
Yeah, and what you're saying, what I'm hearing is, it's interesting. It's kind of a Yeah, what turns it into a judgment is that it feels personal, like you're not enough, you're not doing enough. It feels personal. Whereas another way to work with energy is that it's born out of causes and conditions. It's just this body does not have a lot of energy right now. It just doesn't. It's not feeling good. It's not your fault. It's like, no, you're not bringing more. It's just like, this is what's happening. Or there's too much energy. Oh, it's because, you know, cause and conditions. There's maybe anxiousness or this or enthusiasm. So I think that the it's impersonal, not taking it on as your responsibility. It loosens the hold of the judgment. Does that make sense? Does that help? There's just not enough energy. It is what it is. How does that land?
I think that makes sense. It's also, like, through what you've said, some tools for, as you said, tuning it. So, one, not making it personal that you're coming with whatever you're coming with. It is just there. But then
right.
Using some tools to say, well, maybe it needs to be somewhere else so I can bring more engagement or more
right.
mindfulness or,
right.
or whatever else I need.
Yeah.
But I'm not, like, bad for having... For like being really super sleepy, or when I need to be more something else.
Right,
or something.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's seeing that the condition, the level of energy right now is born of causes and conditions, and your awareness and your knob is just one of them. Is one of the very many causes and conditions. There are so many causes and conditions out of your control. Your genetics, everything that has happened throughout the day, happened in your life, phase of the moon, pollution, I don't know. There's just so much what you ate. Like, there's so much. Your digestive system, this body, just the way it works, which is totally out of your control in many cases. I don't know if there have been viruses or bacteria. You see what I'm saying? I'm just trying to get a sense of there's so many causes and conditions, and your control, your knob, is just one of them. So observing and acknowledging that. Yeah, thank you.
I have a question about engagement and energy. So I feel that sometimes I can be very engaged but not have energy. And from the first part of the conversation up to now, I have a feeling we are discussing that engagement helps build energy. But how do you explain that you can be engaged and not have energy?
So engagement is one of the causes and conditions for energy.
Mm.
It's, as I was explaining, it's not everything.
Enough.
It's
mm-hmm.
it's not everything, right? You know, you can be completely engaged with what you're doing, loving what you're doing, but the body is not feeling well. There's not enough energy. There's just not enough energy. I'm loving being with you right now, teaching, but there's not a lot of energy in this body. It's dealing with the virus, so that's part of the cause and conditions. So it's not just one thing. There's so many things. We have to kind of make our thinking a little bigger than just the A leads to B. No, it's a multivariate system.
Yeah, I think I got stuck on the fact that, you know, we've been talking for a couple hours about increasing the engagement and the energy increases, kind of like some examples that we've been discussing.
Yeah.
And so that felt like a paradox. I'll think about that more.
Yeah. Does it still feel like a paradox as you open up and expand your understanding?
No, actually, you know, raising the question is helpful, right? And the answer that you described about you're being personally engaged and having low energy. Maybe it goes back to what she was saying. Maybe there was a judgment, an element of judgment in me that I'm engaged, I should have energy.
Yeah, you're engaged, you don't have enough energy. It's just the cause and conditions. Your engagement is one of the very many causes and conditions. And it's okay. And can we have equanimity with that? Yeah. Thank you. What else? Any other questions? Yes, please. I think it's off.
So it would be great to better understand the concept of knob. I might have missed
concept of
the knob.
The knob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is. I'm trying to understand that we talked about lack of energy. How we deal with this lack of energy? We talked about excitement and positive energy, and how we kind of tune it to. And I'm sure there is a lot of negative energy too, right? So I'm trying to get a better sense of then. And we talked about wisdom to wise efforts. If you could just explain a little more, is there any equilibrium that I have to target for? To like, there's our group talked about sometimes emotion goes up and down, even throughout the day. Sometimes you're happy, sometimes you're not. Lack of energy, negative energy, positive energy. So you're going through the journey. And if we have a knob that we can tune, I'd love to have some kind of target temperature, you know, 72 degrees throughout the day, right? Like thermostat. I don't know if it's the right concept to approach, or is there any other wiser way to approach this?
Yeah, so I think that's a good investigation for you to take on. What is the right level of energy given the right, given the time of the day, given the task, given how your body is feeling, given how your mind is feeling? It's not always 72 degrees. It could be colder or warmer, or depending on what else is happening, all the other causes and conditions. It needs to be responsive. Need to have the appropriate response. So the way you find that out is through being mindful and through being curious. Right? When you're mindful and curious, and you bring in wisdom, because there's, of course, there has to be wisdom about what is appropriate for a very appropriate time. So what I'm sharing here are the tools. It's not a definite answer. You need to have this. It's different for everyone in a given circumstance, in a given condition. But it's to make it as concrete as possible. Let's say a situation where you're sitting and meditating is different from a situation where you're going for a run or a jog. It's a different level of energy, effort, right? So it's all different. But let's just take your sitting and meditating. Let's take that. And you notice that you're actually getting very, very sleepy. Actually, a lot of times people don't even notice they're getting sleepy. They just fall asleep, right? So what I'm suggesting is there is enough mindfulness and investigation that you even notice that, oh, I'm starting to get sleepy. There's hypnagogic thoughts. There are thoughts that are unrelated to anything, that don't make sense, are coming up. That's clue number one. You're getting sleepy. If there is enough mindfulness and investigation at that point, then you realize, ah, and then you don't go, oh, I'm getting sleepy. Okay, well, that's the end of that. Like, oh, wait, there is something I can do. What can I do? I can bring more energy to the mind, to the body. Because sleepiness is usually, not always, lack of energy, It's, again, I'm not taking illness and various things out. Like, you're healthy, everything is good. You're just kind of like, the mind is getting dull, okay? So what can I do? Okay, there's a knob. I can bring in more energy by sitting a little more straight. That alone is amazing. It brings more energy to the mind. Your mind kind of wakes up. That could be something you do, right? That's one knob. That's one way to turn the knob. Another way is to maybe open your eyes, stand up, bring in more visual energy. That wakes you up. That makes the mind more bright. Or another one is bring in more investigation, actually. Become very curious about being sleepy. What does it feel like in the body? What does it feel like in the mind? Be curious about the hypnagogic state, these images. Be very curious. Bring a lot of investigation. Investigation brings energy. The mind wakes up, comes engaged. Okay? All of these, this is one way in this specific example to take care of that. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. I'm curious, when you're having a lot of positive energy and somehow it is so good, it's not like overwhelmingly exciting, but let's say that you are in a very, very happy status too. And then should I turn on the knob as well? I turn down the knob as well to come? I mean, because the more awareness I bring in, the more energy I feel like I'm adding to that too.
Yeah.
So it's good. It's escalating, but
yeah,
maybe at a certain point you gotta kind of cap it and bring it down.
So that's the other end. So that happens, not so much I would say happy energy, but when the energy is not, when it gets too anxious, I think that's when it's too much energy and the is becoming anxious energy. So again, you're sitting, let's say you're meditating. I'm using a very specific example, right? Meditation. You're sitting, and you can't sit. You just want to like start running. Like, whoa, I can't sit with my eyes closed. This is like, you can't contain all the energy, okay? Or the mind is darting everywhere. There's not a moment's peace, right? Too much energy, right? Too much anxious energy. In that case, with the knob, you turn it to get more embodied. Another thing I suggested during the guided meditation, if you remember, is with every out breath, you relax, you settle in more. You kind of like, it's like you have a pressure cooker. You open the valve, kind of let go, like you settle. Does that make sense? Okay. You are welcome. Okay. Anything else? Any questions, comments? Okay. So, we have... a handout. Did everyone get the handout? Anyone who did not receive a handout? Here, you can have mine. I think I have it on here somewhere. Let me grab mine. Let's see. Actually, I'll take a second. We'll just meditate. It's okay. The practice patience as I find mine so that you can keep looking at yours. Actually, here it is. Got it. Good to go. All right, thank you. Okay. So as you see, there are guided reflections, not guided, the reflections, not guided, the reflections suggested for the next month on different aspects of energy in your daily life. And I think they are pretty awesome. In fact, let's do something. Let's wherever the mic is, I like each person to read one paragraph, and we'll pass the mic around just so that it's been, at least you've heard it once, and it also will be recorded for people who are listening. So if you would take the, thank you, Bill. You just read the week one reflection.
In general, do you find that you have enough
energy? Hold it closer. it's a little low, though. You might want.
In general, do you find that you have enough energy for what is important in your life? Do you spend most of your energy on activities that seem to be the most urgent or the most important or impractical?
Impactful. Thank you. Nice reflection, right? Where do you spend your energy in your daily life? Things that are most urgent, most impactful? Or do you have enough energy for what's most important in your life? So for week one, that is the reflection. And the practice is, if somebody else would take the mic, please, read the practices for week one.
The practices at the end of the day. At the end of each day, reflect on...
Is it on?
Yeah, at the end of each day, reflect on when you felt energized and when you felt depleted during the day. Is there a consistency to the rhythm of your energy levels on most days? If possible, experiment with meditating at different times in the day.
Okay. So that's a practice to really reflect each day on your level of energy throughout the day and what activities, what state of mind changes your energy. So if somebody would, and also in terms of meditation, what is the best time, experimenting with the best time. So if somebody would please read the reflection for week two.
How do you know when you're energized? How is feeling energized different than feeling restless?
That's a good one, right? What the distinction between energized and restless, which, you know, I actually taps into the question you were asking earlier in a way, right? Yeah. Would somebody read the week two practices, please?
Spend more time than you normally would doing activities that energize you. Notice how your body feels when you feel energized. Also notice your mind state and emotional state when you feel energized. Were the energizing activities indeed energizing?
Nice. Yeah. Indeed. Yeah, so another way to, as a practice, to really bring attention to the activities and what it feels like to be energized and the relationship between the activities you think are energizing and actually whether they are energizing. So, okay, next. Next one, please. Week. Week three, reflection.
Reflection. How easy is it for you to stay with the task until it is completed? What do you do when there are obstacles or difficulties in your path? Do you have the persistence to overcome them? Do you work on tasks past a point of diminishing returns?
That's a great reflection, right? I especially appreciate the, do you work on tasks past the point of diminishing returns? For those of us who have that pattern, keep working on something. Yeah, and also the opposite, having persistence to overcome obstacles. So, great. Please, the practice is for week three.
This week, decide to complete a task that you have been intending to accomplish, but have not. Notice your energy level when you think about doing this task, when you're just about to begin doing the task, while you're doing the task, and after you've completed the task. When did you feel the most energetic? Which step required the most energy? How might this affect your practice?
Great, thank you. Yeah, and I appreciate this as a reflection of throughout the task, beginning, middle, and end, kind of, you know, yeah. And seeing your personal patterns. And if somebody would read week four reflections, please.
During meditation, do you find that you are applying a lot of effort and striving, or are you primarily relaxing? How can you tell whether you are applying the right amount of effort to your meditation?
Nice, thank you. And this comes back to the conversation we had about tuning the violin, the string instrument, right? How much effort? What's the right level of effort? Too much, too little in your practice of meditation? And week four practices, please.
During this week, experiment with applying more effort in meditation. This can be done physically by sitting up straighter or by doing brisk walking meditation before sitting. It can be done mentally by putting more effort into being alert and mindful of what is happening during the meditation. If applying more effort agitates you, try to match the increased effort with increased calm or inner stillness.
Nice. That's a knob. Great. Great. Thank you so much for reading that. So I really do hope that you take on these practices for the coming weeks. Any questions, comments about any of this? Yes, strictly on a curve. Yeah, please. Oh wait! Would you take it for the benefit of all beings who listen to this?
Yeah, I said I haven't been very diligent about doing these the past couple of weeks. So this time I have a picture in my mind. I'm going to tape it up on the mirror.
Nice.
And when I brush my teeth in the morning, look at
nice.
It. And when I brush my teeth at night, look at it. And that'll help me kind of keep it a little bit more top of mind.
Nice, nice, great. Yeah. Lovely. I appreciate that. What a great idea. May it inspire other people to do the same. Yeah, yeah. Maybe moving forward, we'll just read it out during the practice day so that people at least, you know, there's some familiarity with it during the day. And yeah, that's great. Yeah. So anything else about these? So I'd like to suggest another practice for us, which is, again, in community, this is a practice in groups, to get into groups of, let's do four again, but different four, if you can manage it. So get into groups of four, and I'll tell you what the prompt is now. And again, best to either be all on the floor or all on the chair.
Okay.
And, you know, there will be some overlap, so it's okay. It's all right. You don't, you know, it's all right if there's overlap. It's not the end of the world. Five is fine, too. I think there might be, again, we might have groups of five. Or three. Three is okay also. Okay, and the prompt, after you get settled, again, I invite you to close your eyes first and again investigate your level of energy in this moment before you start speaking. Become embodied, intimate with your experience. And we'll also do this as a spiral again. That's a nice format for today. So now that you've taken stock of your level of energy in your mind and your body, the prompt is, what are you taking home today from this day of practice together, from this half day of practice together? What is one realization, observation, something you've learned that you are taking home or something inspired for you to practice with? So please open your eyes and you can begin. Again, maybe whoever's closest to the Buddha, just make it easiest. And we'll go clockwise. We'll shake it up this time, sort of counterclockwise.
There's nothing I have.
Okay. So, a few minutes before we conclude, I'd like to invite, especially those who haven't spoken yet today and they haven't put their voice in the room, what is something you're taking home today from our practice day together? Could be anything. So, please, don't be shy. I know you're the shy ones, but please, don't be shy. Don't be. Great, awesome, thank you.
Something I'm going to take with me is the turning the knob, and also like embodying the mind and body, like how they are both interrelated, and using that kind of like to help me turn the knob in whichever direction I need to go, kind of like listening to my inner compass and letting that guide me.
Nice.
And just observing the quality of my energy and like making peace with that.
Nice. Thank you. Thank you. What else, please? Great. Two hands here.
I wasn't familiar too much with the seven factors, but I liked the idea of kind of energy coming later. I feel like in my practice and in the way I tend to think before was like judging myself if I had enough energy or not for practice, as opposed to kind of having it be part of the practice and investigating it. So like if I'm sleepy, investigating that, not judging it for being wrong and making it hard for practice.
Yeah. Nice, yeah. I appreciate that. It's interesting. In some ways, you know, there is an order to the seven factors, and yet they're out of order, both. The one way to think about them having the order is when the first, mindfulness investigation together, they kind of lead, they bring up the energy. And yet, you need to have some level of energy. You can't be completely comatose, otherwise you can't have any investigation or any mindfulness awareness, right? So it's all seven kind of like work together, but then yet there are some ways that they strengthen each other. So I appreciate you taking that home. Yeah, there's a hand here.
Hi. For me, also, one of the main learnings is that concept of tuning and the knob and how to bring in more energy when I'm sleepy or kind of bring in more calm when I'm anxious. And I've learned something from each of the questions from everybody here, so I thank all the co-practitioners for asking them.
Great. Beautiful. Thank you. Next to you.
Effortless effort and gentle perseverance and getting out of the way of myself and letting it unfold and keeping things simple, I think are all important things for me. And, an unexpected 3 hours just showed up in my afternoon, so it's unusual that when that kind of thing happens.
The gift of time, a friend of mine calls it.
But I hope you're feeling better.
Thank you. Thank you.
Your announcement that we would be ending early was a really good illustration for me. How you checked your energy level and you said, it's enough and you're going to take care of yourself. That was very, very helpful for me, since I struggle with always how to do too much. And so I really appreciate the lesson today and the insight I've gained. But your example was very helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. And your understanding and support. Yeah, thank you. Maybe that's the note we end on. No other hands are shooting up. So let's sit together for a couple of minutes as we end our practice period together. Landing in your body in this moment. However things are, however your energy is. Being aware, intimate, of how things are in this body, in this mind. Opening to however it is. Embracing. And bringing to mind all the goodness generated from our day of practice together, whether it's been in silent reflection internally, whether it's been in community, sharing, listening, learning. All the goodness that's created from our intentions, from our practicing together. And trusting that this goodness will affect and influence our lives and the lives of all those people that we touch in myriad ways. And we dedicate the merit, the goodness of our practice together, interactively or silently. Dedicate that merit, the goodness of it, to all beings everywhere. We share it generously, freely. May all beings everywhere, every being, every sentient being, may all beings be happy. May all beings be healthy. May all their lives flow with ease. May all beings everywhere taste and know goodness and freedom everywhere, all beings, including us. Thank you for being here today, for practicing together, for supporting each other. May you be happy, may you be healthy, may you be well. May you all have good balance of energy and accept whatever energy life brings you to. Have a great afternoon. Thank you.